Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We're now in Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, Perek Bet, Mishnah Gimel. And this chapter continues, this Mishnah continues with the issue of Shein V'Regel and subsets of Shein V'Regel. Hakelev V'Hagdish HaKavtsu Mirosh HaGag. You have a dog or a goat that were on top of a roof and they jumped off. And the implication is they deliberately jumped off. V'Shivru HaKelim, and they broke vessels. Mishalim Nezek Shalim. And Rashi points out that's a told of Karen, and therefore, by the way, would not be true in Rishut HaRabim. Mnei Shehin Muadin. These things are Muad. Now, Akelev Shenatal Chara, this we've seen earlier, if a dog took a hot cake, V'halach L'Gadish, and he took a coal with it, as we'll see, Achal Acharav Idlika Gadish, he ate the cake, and then he ignited the Gadish, the pile of wheat, Chara Mishalem Nezek Shalom, Al Gadish Mishalem Chatzin Nezek. He has to pay full damages for the Chara, that's classic Shein, and the Gadish, for the Eish, he pays half Nezek because it is Mishunah, or we'll see exactly how it plays out. Now, Tama de Kavtsu, our inference is that the reason that they're Chayiv is because they deliberately jumped off. Hanaflu Patur, implying that if they just fell off the roof and did damage, they're Patur. What does that teach you? Alma kasavra tchilato b'pshiyah v'sofo ba'onis patur. And this is a discussion that we'll see later on, that if the beginning of a nezek happens with deliberate negligence, as it were, but ends up as a case of ones, then you're exempt. So if allowing the animal to go up on the roof, which is a pshia, because animals will jump off and do damage, but then they inadvertently fell off and caused damage, you're patur, that means that tchilato b'pshiyah v'sofo ba'onis patur. Tanya Nami Hach, we have a bright that supports this. Hakela Lagdish, Kavtsu Mirosh HaGag, Vishvurot Hakela Mishal Nezek Shalem, Naflu Pturin. So as a two-word addendum to our clause in the Mishnah, that if they fell, they're Patur. Now, Hanech L'manda V'tchilato V'shiyah V'sofa Ba'ones, Patur. That only works according to the Manda Amr that says that if the beginning of the process was negligent, but the end was Ones, your Patur, that works. L'manda V'chayav Ma'ikal Amr, but how could there be a Manda Amr that would say you're Chayav in such a case, when you have a clear braita and an inference from our Mishnah that indicate your patur? The answer is, we could be talking about a case where the vessels were right up against the wall. If they would really jump, they wouldn't jump on the vessels because they'd jump out. So there is no tchilato b'shia. In other words, there was no negligence here. A person has vessels up against a wall and another fellow allows his animals to climb up on the roof of that building, then there's no pshia, because even if they would jump off, they would miss the vessels. They fell, so the whole thing's onus. Amarav Zvidin Shmeid Rava, Pamim Shafilu Raflu Nami Chayiv. Sometimes, even when they fall off, you'd be chayiv. Mishkacha Labakota Ra'ua. If you had a shaky wall, and they were up there, and the wall collapsed, and they fell, then the wall would also do damage. So my niu, he had to think that the stones may fall out of the wall. But the stones didn't fall out; the animals fell. So it's totally onus. So why is he chayiv? So we're talking about a very thin wall where the entire thing is onus. And, where the whole thing was a pshia, because having them go up to a very narrow wall, there was no way they could be up there without falling. Okay, Tanabara, Kelev Agdisha Dilgumi Mimata Lamala. So if they jumped up, not down, but they jumped up, Pturin, Milamala Lamata Chayavin. If they jumped down, like our Mishnah, then they are, we're Chayav. Adam Tanigol Shidilgu, but a man or fowl that jumped, Ben Milamala Lamata Ben Mata Lamala, in either direction, Chayavin. Because people will climb up, and Adam Muad Le'olam, and fowl will do that. They'll climb up something and cause damage. Whereas for a dog or a goat or another domesticated kind of animal, canine or an ovine, or a bovine for that matter, to climb up is very weird. Now, Vatanya, Kelevagdisha Dilguben Malamata Malamata Pturin. But we have a Brita that says that if animals climbed down or up, Pturin, or Potter, that's not like our Mishnah. I'm sure they jumped. But they climbed up a wall, they climbed down a wall and did damage. They're patur, so tikamar papa da apich mepach. They did it in a strange way. Kalba bezikira, the dog jumped up. Vigadya besricha, the goat was climbing with its nails, was using its nails to climb up. So yachem I paturim, so why are they patur? The answer is patur minazik shalem, chayev na chatzinezek. Of course, the chayev chatzinezek, as in any other case of nezek mishuneh, for which you're chayiv chatzin nezek at least the first few times. Okay, the Mishnah said that if the dog took the cake and took it over to where there was a gadish, he's chayev nezek shalom for the cake and chayev chatzin nezek for the fire. Now, this leads us to a very well-known debate about the nature of esh. And just with a quick preface, I understand that if I, as a competent human being, do damage, whether I hurt another person or I hurt an animal or I break a vessel, I'm chayav because I'm responsible for my body. I also understand that there's a whole other class of things, which is anything that I own, I have responsibility for, and therefore, if it's a live thing, I have to make sure that it's properly penned in and will not attack or hurt, do damage based on what its normal instincts are and normal habits. I understand that if I have something that is stationary, that I keep it in a place that is not going to do damage, like a boar, I won't leave a bereshut harabim, at least not open. Good. So what about esh? So Rav Yochanan Amar isho mishum chitzav. Your esh is a nezek, which is a subset of your arrows, meaning it's almost like an extension of your hands, and it's as if you did the damage yourself. Rish Lakish Amar isho mishum mamono. Rish Lakish says, no, it's mamon, just like you own an animal, you own the fire that you started, and therefore you're chayiv. Now Rish Lakish may tell on Rav Yochanan, so why didn't Rish Lakish like the idea of chitzav? When you shoot an arrow, an extension of your hand, it's all your power that's generating it. But the fire doesn't come mikocho, has its own energy, and the wind. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan accept the idea that it's mamon? Your ox's horns, whatever it may be, all have tangible substance to them. Ha, lepa mamasha, the fire doesn't have tangible substance to it. So it's really like an energy. Now, let's test this. So we have our Mishnah. It works according to Rabbi Yochanan. Chitzav de kelavu. Because after all, the dog himself is carrying the fire, as it were. And since it's your dog, you're chayev. But if you say that Eish is a subset of Mamon, Hai Eish la Mamono to Baal Kelavu. Why should the dog's owner have to pay for the fire? After all, he doesn't own the fire. Some of the Chavish Lakish, Rish Lakish would say as follows, Hachmayaskinan da Adye Aduye, the dog really threw the coal. The Acharam Shalom Nezek Shalom, he has to pay Nezek Shalom for the cake, that we understand. The Almakom Gachal Neshalom Chatzin Nezek, he doesn't pay Chatzin Nezek for the whole fire. He pays Chatzin Nezek for the spot that the coal landed, because that was directly his Nezek. Al Gadish Kula Patur, but he's really Patur for the rest of the Gadish. That's, of course, not the easiest reading of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan, what would Rabbi Yochanan answer? Da'an Chanuche, he says, no, the dog just put the coal down. Al Charav Yamakom Gachal Neshalom Nezek Shalim. So he adds to the Mishnah. He says, not only Yechayv Nezek Shalim for eating the cake, but also for the specific spot at which he put the coal down and the fire there. Gadish Meshalom Chatzin Nezek. For the rest of the Gadish, he pays Chatzin Nezek. Okay, so the Rav Shlokish has a way of interpreting our Mishnah so that even though Eish is a subset of Mamon, we still understand the Mishnah, but then the liability is far less extensive. Toshma. Let's try this. Mishnah in Perak Vav, the last Mishnah in Perak Hakones. Gamal ta'un pishtan. If a camel is laden down with flax, flax is very flammable. If you have arba shuta rabim, and it's the camel's being led through the streets. Nichnasa pishtan al toch chanut, and he had such a large and wild load on his back that it stretched out and went into a store. V'dalko b'nero shulchan v'ani v'dikat abira. It caught fire on the candle that was inside the storekeeper's store. And it lit up the whole town, lit up the whole building. Baal ha-gamal chayav. Then the camel driver is chayav, because he's the one who caused the nezek. Hineach chenvani nero machutz chenvani chayav. If the store owner left his candle outside, he's chayav, because he'd never right to put a candle out in the, or a torch, or a lantern out in the public square. If you don't remember, ner Chanukah patur. So Rabbi Yehuda adds in that if it's ner Chanukah, he's patur, because he had the right to do it, because of the mitzvah of ner Chanukah. That, parenthetically, is the only place in all of the Mishnah where the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is mentioned. Now, Bishtam alamandam ar isho mishum chitzav, I understand Rabbi Yochanan. Because chitzav de gamalhu, because after all, why does the camel owner have to pay for the whole damage? Because it is the energy that was put out by the camel. He extended the fire. And then the assumption here is that it's the flax that's on his back that caught, and then that caught onto other things. Halamandar Mishum Mamono, but according to Rish Lakish, it's hard to understand. Hi Eishlab Mamono de Bal Gamalhu. Again, like our case with the coal didn't belong to the owner of the dog. In this, in here, the fire did not belong to the owner of the camel. It belonged to the storekeeper. So, Rish Lakish, Achmay Askinah Misachsechet Kol Habira Kula. We're talking about a case where the camel didn't set a fire that extended. He walked around and touched the whole building and singed it. So it's direct nezek. But take a look at the end of the Mishnah. If that's the case, then why would the storekeeper be chayev if the camel caught fire on the lantern that was outside and the camel walked around and torched the whole building or the whole city? The answer is b'sha'amda, that the camel was just standing still and everything was proximate. If our case is where he's standing still and just inflaming it, then certainly the chenvani is pater and the baal gamal is chayav, even if the chenvani put his candle outside. After all, the camel owner should have seen this and stopped his camel from inflaming everything. We're talking about a case where the camel just stopped still and was urinating, so the camel owner couldn't do anything about it. It's totally onus. However, remember, the original fire had come because the storekeeper had put his fire outside. So he can't expect the camel owner to do anything about it because he's onus. Because he is onus. And so therefore, the storekeeper is chayav. Alright. Velo ibile lafushe b'ti'ina. So now, reisha bal gamal chayav. In the first case where the flax went into the store and then the camel just stood around and he was urinating and he was inflaming the whole place, the baal gamal is chayav. Why? Delo ibile lafushe b'tina. He shouldn't have put so much stuff on top. Seifa chenvani chayav. In the second case, the chenvani is chayav. Delo ibile lanuchi nerom avrai. He shouldn't have put his candle outside. So in other words, we're talking about a case where the camel catches fire, the flax catches fire. This is all according to Rish Lakish, where the flax catches fire. And the camel's standing there and won't move because it's urinating. He can't push the camel when he's urinating. So in the meantime, the entire thing is being inflamed. So if the candle was inside, then the baal gamal is chayav because he shouldn't have put such a big load on there. Or he should have been more careful with it. In the second case, the baal chanut is chayav because he shouldn't have put his lantern outside. All right, toshma, hamadliket hagadish. If somebody directly lights a pile of wheat, and there was a goat that was tied to the gadish, or there was an eved nearby, and they were all burnt, either one of them or both were burned with this fire. Chayav, he's chayav for the payment. Why? Because he's not chayav mita for killing the eved, because the eved should have run away, and therefore he's chayav to pay money. Eved kafutlo v'gudis samuchlo v'nisrafimo. But flip it. Let's say that the slave was tied down there, so he couldn't run away. Then he's patur. Why? Because he's going to be killed for killing the slave, and therefore all of the other things are exempt. The lesser payments are exempt. So bishum alamandam ayishum mishum chitzav. I understand according to Yochanan mishum hachi patur. Alamandam ayishum mishum amonom amai patur. After all, ilu katal tore avda achanamid lo mechayev. You think if your ox were to kill a slave, you wouldn't be chayev for the other damage? Of course you would. So the fact that your fire did. Why would you be patur? In other words, Rish Lakish regards fire as being just another property that you own that does damage, like an ox. If your ox killed a slave, you'd be chayiv for the other damage. So the same thing if the fire does. So I kind of jumped the gun. You actually lit the body of the eved. You're really chayiv misa for murder. To come now you're exempt from the other payments, not because you're essentially exempt, but because they're subsumed under the greater payment. So Yachim Eilam Emrav, so if that's the case, why would you even think differently? Why do you have to say it? So lo tzricha b'gdid echad ve'eved echad. You're talking about where the goat belonged to one and the eved to another. And you might think that you'd still have to pay the owner of the goat for his damage because of the separate ownership. K'mashpon kam lebi rabinei. Toshma, sholechat ha-bi'ira b'yad cherishat v'katan. This we saw in the first parak. If you send a flame out with an incompetent, patur medine adam chayav dine shemayim. You're not, it's not actionable in court. You have to work out your cheshbon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not actionable in court. Now, bishlam on the mandarei shum mishum chitzav again, Rabbi Yochanan comes out good. Why? Because chitzav the cherishu. It's the cherish's arrows, as it were, that did the damage, and there's no chiyuv for that. Think about this. If you had given your ox and entrusted it to an incompetent and then it went out and did damage, of course you'd be chayiv. So why aren't you chayiv if you gave a torch to a cheresh and then he went and caused damage? Aha, Haimar Alam Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish himself says, Mishrim Yidchizkiya, Lashon Alak Shabasar Loga Chelet V'liba. When do we say that you're patur? If you gave him a coal and he inflamed it. Why? Because then he played a role in it. Of Masar Loshahav, if you gave him an open flame, Chayav, you are Chayav. My Tama, the Bari Hazeka, because the damage is very obvious here. In other words, Rish Lakish agrees that giving a flame to a cheresheit of a cotton is just like giving an ox to a cheresheit of a cotton. And, of course, if the ox is muad, you're chayiv. Just like here, if you gave him an open flame where the nezik is obvious, you're chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and this is l'shitato, afilu shalhevet patur. You're even exempt if it's a shalhevet, if an open flame. Why? Because it's also the cheresh hitting the wood or carrying it or doing something that also is part of the cause of this fire going out, going further. In other words, if you just gave him a flame, it has to have something to catch on. The only way you'd be chayiv is if you gave him some dry wood and twigs and a fire and a candle. In other words, if you gave him everything ready to actually make a flame, then you're really chayiv. But if you just gave him a flame, that's not good enough. He has to find some sort of flammable thing to catch on to. Okay, Amarava. He says both the Pasuk and a Mishnah support Rabbi Yochanan. A Braita support Rabbi Yochanan. Kra, what's the Pasuk? Dichtiv, the one Pasuk on the page. Ki Tetzei Eish, if fire goes out, Tetzei Miatzma means it goes out on its own, and what is the end of the Pasuk? Yishalem Hamavirta Be'ira, the one who inflames, which means that when the fire goes out, we still consider it as if this guy is making the fire happen. Which, of course, leads to the famous question of the Mukhe Yosef. He says, according to the position of Yishum Mishum Chitzav, it seems as if the Eish is something that the owner is consistently inflaming. That's the notion. Therefore, he asks the question, how could you ever light Nerot Shabbat? Because after all, you light them on Friday, but they continue to burn through Shabbat, and it's as if you're lighting on Shabbat. And then he gives his answer to distinguish, but that means at least from the perspective of some Rishonim, the notion of Yishum Mishum Chitzav is that it's like as if your hands continuing to inflame, and that seems to be the way that Rava is reading this pasuk to support Rabbi Yochanan. Shvamina Yishum Mishum Chitzav Matnita. What's the brayta? Tanya Patacha Katuv Benizkei Mamono V'Siyem Benizkei Gufo. The text that started Kitetse Eish starts with something that's your property, and it ends with Nizkei Gufo because it says the one who lights it. Again, the same piece that Rava just said in the pasuk says there's a brayta that says that. Lomar Lachai Yishum Mishum Chitzav. By the way, Rava really is saying there's a pasuk that he's interpreting, and then there's a brayta that interprets it the same way. So it's not really two different proofs; it's one compound proof. All right, I'm a Rava. Kashale Abai. He said Abai had a problem. L'mandam Yishum Mishum Chitzav, and it's the first time that we're hearing a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan because the challenges were all against Rish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Tamun Be'esh Tepater Achmana Echem Mishkachat La. Echem Mishkachat La is a little bit of a tricky question. Doesn't mean what it normally means. Normally means, how can I find a circumstance where it would apply? Here, it really means, why is it so? If Eish is really your arrows, meaning it's an extension of your body, then why does the Torah say that you're pater for Tamun? Remember the halacha, that if you start a fire, anything that was not open in the field at the time, that it catches something under a tarp, something that's buried, you're pater for. Now, if you were to go over with your hands and punch something that was underground, you'd be chayiv. So why are you pater for Tamun Ba'esh if it's Yishom Mishum Chitzav? So he gives a Venechal Abai himself gave an answer, said, a strange circumstance. In your own backyard, a fire started. And then the fence fell down, not because of the fire. And then it went and inflamed in somebody else's field. What happened is, your energy stopped at that wall. In other words, the wall was up, and the wall should have protected. The wall fell down for some other reason. It's an ones. And therefore, any other damage that happens beyond that, then we can see Eish as something else and say there's a special halach of Tamun. Alright, but Ihachi Lina Golinamiko Lechitzav, that's the case, then you shouldn't be chayv for any Eish there, even stuff that's out in the open. That doesn't work. Ela Lamandi Idle Mishum Chitzav Idle Nam Mishum Amono. It's a little bit reminiscent of the discussion, the beginning of Gittin, between Rava and Rabba about Edim Mitsuyin and Bekin Lishman, and the end, We say that everybody agrees that there's a concern of acute lishma. So at the end of this discussion, we said, Laman di ilam mishum chitzav, Rabbi Yochanan ilam mishum no. He agrees that mamon is an issue. And therefore, let's say that the fence was down and it was the incumbent upon the one who ended up starting the fire to put the fence up and he didn't do so. That's kind of like having an ox and you didn't muzzle him, right? And you didn't properly protect him. Right, and so you put him into a corral and you didn't lock the corral, so he got out. So you had a fence that you were supposed to put up, you didn't put up, then it really is mamon. If Rabbi Yochanan really accepts Rish Lakish and says it's both chitzav and mamono, and Rish Lakish, by the way, says it's only mamono, my benayu, so what's the difference between them? That's the difference. Is that if it's isho mishum mamono, it's just like any other property that you have that does damage, then if it does damage, even if it hurts a person, you're chayv to be nezek. But if it's isho mishum chitzav, then at least at that point, which it is chitzav, and we just saw a possible case where it would be chitzav for one part and then later on just mamono, but at the part that it's chitzav, we would say that that you are chayiv barbar dvarim, just like if you physically attack somebody. And therefore, if, let's say you started a fire, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if a person was damaged, you'd have to pay for tsar and ripui and shevet besides nezek, not boshet, and as opposed to Rish Lakish, you'd say you'd never pay anything more than nezek because it's purely mamon. Okay, we'll stop at this point. The next podcast will be relatively short, which will look at the very end of the Mishnah about paying for the charara and paying for the chatzin nezek for the fire. Everybody should have a wonderful day.